Heavenly Father, we just pray for Lara as she preaches and as she reads, and Andy as he preaches. And I just pray, God, that your spirit would be speaking through him to us so that we could encounter you tonight. Amen.
This evening's reading is from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39 to chapter 11, verse 16. And apologies, I don't know what page it is on the church Bibles. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life, so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is keeping with faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lara. That's a bit of a long reading, wasn't it? I picked you. Cool. So tonight, we are starting our second message in the 5 p.m. series, and we're building on what Max was speaking on last week. And our question tonight is, can I believe? Can I have faith? And the text, obviously, this evening, lots of words, faith, you probably heard it multiple times, really hones in on this concept of faith. What does the Bible teach about faith? And in particular, I just want to look with us tonight at Hebrews 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And straight from the outset, in case there's any doubt by the end of the 20 minutes, I just want to say, I hope you can see that the answer is yes. You can have faith. And that the faith is for all of us, every single one of us in this room tonight, everyone listening online. It's for all of our life now, our past, our present, and our future. So as I said, Max last week spoke about the cross, and if you hadn't had a chance to hear that talk, please go online and check it out. Amazing. In summary, Max was talking about what we call the gospel. Some of you may have heard that word before. It literally means good news. The good news that God has for us, the good things that God has done for us. And ultimately, what we find is that God calls, explains that we're in a position of judgment. There's consequences for the nature of who we are and how we are now, but that God himself has taken it to fix this, to fix the separation that we have together. God himself did this for us. And so this is the foundation that we're going to build on. So what do we do now? We ask the question, what does Jesus ask us to do now? When we've heard the good news, what does Jesus want us to do? And the answer to that is, he wants us to believe. He wants us to have faith. And it's not a complicated thing. I asked my children in preparation the other day, kids, what does it mean to have faith? And in a childlike way, they said, we trust God, we trust Jesus, right? We're obviously going to go into a bit more detail in what that looks like, but it is for the children. The children tonight are going to be hearing about Jesus, and Jesus is glad to be there. Jesus is good, glad for them to encounter him and to come into a relationship with him, and he is here with us tonight. And Jesus doesn't tell us to believe or suggest that we should believe. He actually commands us to believe. He doesn't give us multiple options. And his last instruction to his followers, the apostles, that we read about, was that they were to go into all the world and tell them all the good news and command them to believe. So that command stands for us tonight. And I hope that that will be something, if you haven't already done, that you will respond to. There is a warrant on us, a heavenly warrant for us to believe the good news. So our text implies something amazing has happened. Something amazing, something that was impossible becomes possible. And yet while it's true that we must have faith, it is also true that God must give us that faith. Faith is also of this grace. Faith comes from the treasury that Jesus has secured at the cross. And it is a free gift. Okay? You don't have to bring anything to pay for it. It is something you can get from God by asking, by seeking him. There's a fantastic text that really captures the heart of God, where Jesus is talking in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 20. He says, "Here I stand, I am at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come and eat with that person and they with me." It doesn't just mean he's going to sit down and have a meal with you. It's a fellowship. It's the most intimate time. He's going to come and sit down with you and spend intimate time with you. And I don't know if the guys could put the first picture up, just to give you a bit of a visual. Not that one, the next one. Or the other one. There it is. Okay. So some of you might recognize this. This is actually in St. Paul's Cathedral. This is a painting by the pre-Raphaelite artist William Holman Hunt. And it's called The Light of the World. And it's based on this text. And when William painted his painting, one of his good friends was looking at it. And he said, "Amazing. I think you made a mistake. There's no door handle." And that's when William said, "Actually, it's on the other side. It's on our side." So the third person of the Trinity, you might have heard the mention of him tonight. God is three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the person that distributes the grace. He's in here. He's in there. He's infiltrating our lives. And when he does that, he makes us able. We become able to believe. And we find ourselves able to believe in all that God has said and what he has done. We start here. It's also true that God takes pleasure in giving this gift to those that seek his mercy, to be right with him, to those who seek him. So going back to our text, what does it say? It says that we need to believe who he is in his existence. And what is his existence? His existence is that he is good. He is good. We've heard that word a few times tonight. We've sung about it. Do you believe he is that good? Do you believe that all your stuff, all your issues, all everything you've got in your life, and in particular, the main thing, his separation from God, you can bring it to him. The answer is yes, you can. You can. And the Bible is full of the true report of who he is. And God has placed authority and power in his word. So when we read the Bible, God tells us that faith comes from hearing the message. There's a supernatural work. The message is heard through the word about Christ. Also, our text tells us that we are to earnestly seek him. Earnestly seek him. That word literally means with real desire. So it's not, I better go to church on Sunday. Yep, tick. I better tell my kids about Jesus. Better do the reading. Better give the money. No. It's a real desire to come to God. And not just come and then that's it. It's actually, the word is a constant coming to God. So you've met with God and you want to know more. You're pursuing him. A real desire. Jesus tells us, so I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. That's a guarantee from Jesus. And I know he won't let you down from personal experience. Jesus also goes on to say, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? So if you, who are evil, that is, your sinners, you know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit, the one who helps us all, to those who ask him? Have you asked him tonight? Have you asked him recently? You can ask him tonight. You can ask him now. That's how it works. It's a relationship. So what is faith and what isn't faith? It's important to understand what the Bible has to say in terms of its instruction about what it is and what it isn't. Just recently we moved house, a new house, and we decided we were going to upgrade from not just a washer but a washer dryer. It's a good move it seemed. In the frantic early days of moving house, lots of going on in our heads. One of our little kids had a little accident in his bed, so I took the initiative. I'll grab the sheets before everyone's awake, I'll put them in the washer and I'll go off to work. 60 minutes sorted. Everyone will be well glad. And then I get a call about 10 o'clock. From my wife, did you put the sheets in the washer? Yeah, I did, yeah. 60-minute wash. They smell really horrible. Oh, okay. It turns out I'd cooked them. I'd put it on the dryer. So, yeah. So, lesson there. Have a look at the instructions. Have a look at what it is to use these good things that we get. And the Bible is very specific about what faith is and what it isn't, why we have faith. The world has lots of ideas about faith. We talk about faith in the world, but the Bible is very specific about what it is. There's a couple of types of faith. Hopefully we'll come and talk about those further in the series. The first type of faith is a miraculous faith, a sudden spiritual gift where you believe things and suddenly something happens, like you need some money for the church or you need a miracle healing and God gives a sudden confidence and does something. There's also other types of faith, believing, facts. Even the demons believe that Jesus is God, but they hate him. We're not talking about those. We're talking about a saving and a justifying faith. He rewards those who earnestly seek him. And this faith is exclusively set upon the object. The object is Jesus, and Jesus alone. And it's by faith that we are saved. Faith alone in Jesus. And a gentleman, a preacher, pastor from the 18th century called C.H. Spurgeon captures it wonderfully. I'm just going to read you his quote in his book, All of Grace. Really recommend this. You get sort of exploring these things and you want to know more about God and grace and faith. This is a fantastic book. Spurgeon says, our life is found in looking unto Jesus, not looking to our own faith, but faith, by faith, all things become possible to us. Yet the power is not in the faith, but in the God upon whom faith relies. Grace is the powerful engine, and faith is a chain by which the carriage of the soul is attached to the great motive power. The righteousness of faith is not the moral excellence of faith, but the righteousness of Jesus Christ, which grasps faith and appropriates. Do you see? It's Jesus. He is the focus. He is the center. So don't be discouraged this evening. If you feel your faith is weak, it's shriveled up, it's not about that. It's who you're looking to, and it will grow. It's by faith alone that God saves us, trusting in what he's done. And we can't do it by works. In Isaiah 64, it says, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and the wind of our sins sweeps us away. A bit like my sheets. We make it worse. Far worse. Mike, could I have the next picture? I just want to drive this point home really far, because I know some of you maybe have grown up, or maybe you're somewhere in that place where you think, I'm going to do this for God, and then he's going to accept me. No. You're not going to do it for God. You're going to bring your stuff, and you're going to meet with God where you are, and you're going to ask him for his help. This, I don't know if any of you recognize it, or maybe speak German. This is the banner, the entrance banner over the horrible concentration camp, Auschwitz. And the words literally translate, work will set you free. Work will set you free. What a lie that was to those people. And it's, in a spiritual sense, it's exactly the same for us. God isn't going to justify us. He isn't going to accept us as right by us doing good things for him to start with. He wants to make us so that we can do good things with him and for him. But that's not what makes us right. We come empty-handed. We lay it all down, and we realize that it's okay, it's all right. It's okay. Isaiah 66, verse 2. To this one, God says, I will look graciously. To him who is humble and contrite in spirit, who reverently trembles at my word and honors my commands. These are the ones that are qualified to come to God. All of us here tonight. I hope this is something that you recognize and that you act on it tonight. So it's faith first. And why just faith? We've explained about that we can't bring anything, but also it's about God's glory, and it is about the identity of God. It is about the historic challenge to God's name. From the beginning, when God made us, God made us out of his goodness. And Satan, hating God and wanting to spoil everything that declares and shows how good God is, tempted Adam and Eve because he couldn't get to God. And the first thing he did was he challenged how good God was. He challenged them. He said, God's maybe not quite good enough to you. Maybe you could become gods, and maybe you just eat from that tree that he told you not to. And in doing so, turn things upside down on its head. For all of us. But God, even in that garden, made a promise that he would fix it by himself for us and make us right. He was able to come into the garden and walk and talk with Adam and Eve. And when we ourselves respond to this picture of God, of who he is and his commands, we relearn and recover our dependence on God. And the relationship is refounded. This time, there's perfect security because it's founded in Jesus. It's in Jesus. We're secure, eternally secure, when we turn to Jesus. It's an immediate transaction as well. So when this happens, if I can get a little bit technical, the Bible talks about regeneration. We all know what regeneration is. The government so suggests that they're going to come in and turn an area around that's really deprived and struggling. Well, we're like that in our hearts. We're stony, we're cold. And God says, by Holy Spirit, I'm going to come in. I'm going to regenerate it. I'm going to make you alive, flesh, feeling heart. And there was a thief on the cross. Some of you might recall it from when you were a child at school, hearing the assembly, the story of Easter of Jesus, or those of you that come often. And we think about what happened with Jesus and the guy beside him. He was mocking Jesus at one point beside him, and then suddenly the Holy Spirit must have come and he realized who Jesus was. And he said, Lord, remember me in your kingdom. Jesus said, truly I tell you, this day you will be with me in paradise. This day. They're about to both die physically. So I want you to have confidence tonight that this is not a... Jesus says, perhaps at some time you're going to get saved, you're going to change. No, it's now. We bring our stuff to God. That's why it's a faith first. And I want to encourage you tonight, if you're struggling, to join with the man who came to Jesus at one point and just opened up to Jesus face to face like we are here. And he said Jesus was ministering and healing different people. And he brought his son who was sick. And he said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Jesus didn't turn him away. He immediately responded to that man and he answered him in love and he healed his son. Just think that man felt when he left that place that he was right with God despite the weakness of his faith. He was right with Jesus. He'd come to Jesus and asked for help. We're going to close up now and I just want to, I guess, project to the next few talks and encourage you as to what does that look like now. My dad always used to say to me, so what, son? What now? What now? Well, now, faith, this work happens in us. When we act in faith, we become a new creation. We are right with God. We go into a right relationship with him. We become his children. All these things happen to us in that very instance. God is pleased to call us sons and daughters. He loves us. He delights in us. And our life has become a foundation of love first. He loved us first, unconditionally. He didn't come to us and say, right, you need to sort all these things out first. He came to us and he loved us first. He took the initiative in our spiritual poverty to forgive us, to transform us, and to make us to bring us back to the right relationship, the fountain of life. And before we are praying this evening, I'm from the 11 a.m. This evening, one of the guys praying said that they'd had a vision, a picture from God. God often does this. And it was a picture of a fountain with rocks on the side, flowing again, flowing afresh. And I hope that is something that's happening tonight. And perhaps somebody tonight that's felt like there's been a few rocks and the water's not flowing right. God, it flows, the Spirit flows, and it flows from this fountain of love. And from faith, the foundation of faith, our whole life is built on this unconditional love. Romans 8:32 says, he who did not spare his only son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he not give us all things? The commitment that God made was the highest order. From all eternity, the happy and blessed Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God temporarily set this aside to become one of us, to suffer and to be separated in that relationship. My God, why have you forsaken me? He took our place. The shame, the punishment display how good they are to us, considered us. So Jesus tells us lastly that we are to have faith. And the person that has faith is like a plant that bears good fruit. A few parables, fruit bearing. And Jesus says that that's the reality of a real faith. And that's the challenge onwards for us. And that's also the encouragement that we'll start to see ourselves changing intrinsically inside. We'll become like God. We'll become like Jesus. We'll love God. We'll love our neighbor. We'll love even our enemies. And we'll get a vision for their good, just as God has for us. We get transformed from the inside out. And this is where the good works come in. We are evidencing that something's changed. Someone once said, faith justifies our souls and good works justify our faith. Yeah, it's quite simple, isn't it? If you've got faith, we'll see some evidence of it because God loved us first. And that faith is designed to be robust, to go through all of life, even through trials. Some of us right now are going through crazy trials. Trials that we didn't envisage that would come to us, and that faith is going to be more than gold. When the fire comes, it's going to be refined. The Father wants us to grow and increase in that faith. Thomas Watson says, God sweetens outward pain with inward peace. And a great example for that, my beginning of faith was seeing my mum and dad's faith. When I was 21, I'd been raised to go to church, and it was their faith, their active faith, their relationship with God, their rightness with God, their peace. And it was at the end of my dad's life when I went to sit by his bedside. He had IPF, a lung disease. He suffered long. But do you know what he was doing in his bed? He was blessing everyone around him. And his constant statement was, God is good all the time. All the time. It's not consolation. By faith, we're enabled within our deepest part of our being to see through and beyond our situations, to find peace and hope in the worst of places. And I pray tonight that that is true for all of us, and that God has started a work perhaps anew in some of you guys. I just ask the bands to want to come up, and we're just going to pray together. We'll just bow our heads and close our eyes, and just let's just talk to God. God, thank you that you are clear about who you are because of Jesus, who he is. We thank you that you are slow to anger. We thank you that you are ready to forgive all of us. And Lord, tonight, we just pray that that impossible thing would become possible in us, that you would come and work in our hearts. We need faith. Give us faith, Lord. Increase our faith. For those that are weak, Lord, come and encourage us and increase us. Help us see Jesus and be encouraged by your love first. Lord, forgive us our sins. Help us to see who you are. Change us so that others can come and see who you are too and be called to the same destination. We thank you that it is your pleasure, your delight to do this, and we trust that you will do this tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.